Frontier.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour. Maybe more. It has no real time limits, making their way into your ears. First, from a place called Barniston, he is the Pyramid.
It's going to be the funniest show ever because I'm all about the comedy and the money.
Baby. How much you can pay?
And his partner, Fede Tappender Stevenson.
From Mexico City to Beef Community Centre, I've got stories that are going to blow your mind.
Hello and welcome to Wrestling Daft. My name's Rob Florence. I'm joined, as ever, by Grado.
Rob, how are we? How are the kids?
Good. How was that introduction for you? Was it good?
All right.
Let's kick this off by saying big news has just broken at this time of recording just now that the Big Show, Paul White, has joined AEW, and we have realised that by singing the Big Show's theme last week, we have caused them to jump ship. Seems like we've got some kind of magic power there, Grado.
What do you think about that? I thought you said you didn't care.
I didn't care when we were off air, mate. We knew that we were on air. I have to pretend to care.
But you're right, you did say off air. Why did they not just, you know what I mean? Why did they? I wonder what his theme music is going to be. I bet it's generic jobbiness. I bet you. I mean, you know, when this goes out on Friday, we're recording this on Wednesday. It's a bit annoying because it would have been good to get to see the debut. I don't know what he's got to do. I can't see him wrestling much, do you?
No, he's no wrestling, is he? Is he no commentating?
Is he?
I think so.
All right. It's garbage.
I think it's a commentary role he's came in there. He's, you know, he was winding down his wrestling career anyway. You might have seen him in a sitcom on Netflix. Yeah. I think it was called something like The Big Husband or something like that. What was it called?
Which I don't know. So I think he's going to be called Paul White on AEW's.
Paul White is going to be called.
Are you thinking this, John? You'll be loving it, eh?
Well, why would I be loving it?
I don't know. Just well, imagine it's you going.
The Big Show. No, I mean, John, you are a Big Show fan. You're one of the biggest Big Show.
I met him once.
I met him in Harrods. You go first.
No, you didn't meet him. No, you didn't.
Mm-hmm. How did you meet him in Harrods?
First of all, what were you doing in Harrods? Let's get at.
To go and meet at the Big Show.
Were you and Big Show involved in a Princess Diana's death?
No, because he nah.
Was this way
I was in my Uncle Jimmy's bed when Princess Diana died.
You were in your Uncle Jimmy's bed?
Aye.
Okay.
And I always remember it. He came through to wake me up and went, Graham, Graham. Dodie, our fight has passed.
You see that?
Was
this before Diana had passed?
Aye, he went.
Because we heard about Dodie first, didn't we?
Aye, he went, Dodie O'Fiat has passed, Graham. And then I woke up in the morning, and then the wireless had all the mad, sad tunes on, and I was like, what's happening to Dean Park? How's Westbound known? And then my gran was obviously there at the time when she said Diana passed and all, so.
So did you, so wait a minute, and then you heard the sad music, first of all, you thought it was Dean Park that died in Paris?
No, I was just wondering why Dean Park wasn't on the air because he had usually been on West Sound at the time. Right. And then I actually watched Princess Diana's funeral in my dad's bed. How weird is that?
That's weird. I can see we're joining the dots here.
August 31st, 1997 is when she died.
So Princess Diana died and the news of it knocked Dean Park off the air. Well, true what they say about a silver lining to everything. No.
I'll tell you, you're at it. You've got something against these radio jokes.
Let's see what the punters are saying today. Hey, big shout out to Karate Warrior 2 for pointing out that one Mr. Mike Bennett, pro wrestler, put over Grado big, actually, on Conan's podcast. Can we let the listeners hear it? Is that something that's going to happen? Mike Bennett putting over Grado on Conan's podcast.
Have you heard this yet, Grado?
I sent you.
Of course he has. He's fucking sent it. He's listened to it 10 times.
I think we need to approach it from the sense that there's tons of different types of wrestling. To me, there's only one wrong type of wrestling, and that's just bad wrestling. And I think we've all seen bad wrestling to know what it looks like.
I mean,
some of the greatest, like Grado is one of the greatest comedic wrestlers I've ever seen. And I would watch him all the time. I would watch Okada wrestle Ibushi all the time. You know, like I'll go and I'll watch Stone Cold Steve Austin versus The Rock all the time.
Well, that was really nice, Grado, wasn't it? Right. And it's true that you're the best comedic wrestler working the day, Mike Bennett. I know, but you, when you were a wrestler, I'm saying you were the best comedic wrestler of the
world. Oh, you hey, fucking hell, man. Impact put up an Instagram post on Saturday night. It was when Drew debuted. I'm sitting there wrecked Saturday night. I need to stop doing that, sitting myself. And I looked at all the comments, man. Fucking Grado. What else? Grado was a failed Dixie Carter idea. I remember Grado. Let's forget him and all this. I got absolutely fucking slated for a big fucking bunch of VLs, man.
Were you raging?
Oh,
fuck them.
They don't. I bet they wanted them, and I thought, I'm not getting involved, man.
They know nothing really about wrestling. Like me. They know nothing about wrestling. They don't understand it.
I mean, see, be honest with you, if I was a wrestling fan, and I just, like, my first segment on TNA was in a bin bag, big fat guy, needing a tan, working out and trying to do squats for an X Division match. I wouldn't like me either. They done it all wrong, Rob. They done it all wrong.
Yeah, but anybody that has... But this is the thing. This is the thing that pisses me off, and this is something I'm going to be talking about later in this show to some... length. The WWE can put on British wrestling shows on its fucking WWE network all at once, but it is not telling the proper the proper story of British wrestling on
that's
there.
That's very frustrating.
And they should really be hanging their head in shame. I'll be talking about this later, but I just kind of feel if you were to go on there and look at the British shows that are on there, there's no attempt made there to tell the story of British wrestling or to build a proper picture of the history of British wrestling, even the recent history of British wrestling. So they're really, I can see you, WWE. I can see you. I see what you're doing. Fallen known for the chat about worst wrestling theme, sexual harassment. What a fucking name that is, man. Sexual harassment on Twitter has went one further by trying to rank the worst Titantrons. Number one, it says Gregory Helms' sunglasses and head tilt.
Quite like that. Quite like the theme to that.
Big Vito, where he shadow boxes, then morphs into the letter T. Nunzio, his personal favourite. Funaki, if you're no epileptic, you will become one. Watching that Titantron, he says. And Taz, the million Tazes all walking. Do you remember that one, Grado?
No, the only thing I remember with the Taz Titantron is we snide the tattoo.
Viva La Hazy get in touch and said that John's attempt at the Big Show's entrance theme last week was more like Lulu singing Shout than the Big Show. Right, John, he's just joined AEW. Gee's another attempt at it.
All right, go there again, John.
Now I come to think it was, because I mean, maybe that's where they got inspiration for Shout, like the Big Show's theme, because it starts obviously Lulu.
Yeah, well, yep.
Right, okay. Right, here we go. I'll try this, right? Because it obviously. Toby was on last week and told us how to do it properly. Hold on. So you put rasp in your voice and go up and then get it down. Don't. All right, okay, here we go. Well, that's a bit better, isn't it?
It's a bit better.
You're John. That was actually not too bad, to be honest with you. Just a segue, I went and asked my brother for some opinions on the Big Show signing for the AEW. If
you
want to
get
this. Right, okay, I'll get his opinions here. Let's get us up.
Who the fuck is AEW? Never heard of it. And as long as it's better than that fucking god-awful shit programme he was in, because that was fucking dreadful, but good on him, but I've never heard of AEW.
Good on him. Well, I mean, that's something Tony Khan has to think about, the fact that, and that's something I'll be talking about later as well. Talking of singing after Grado's rapping last week and singing a week before, there's been a surge here to get Grado to sing more wrestling themes, especially after Bronze Cello posted up a clip of him singing with Jeff Jarrett, which happened at ICW, didn't it? That was ICW, wasn't it? Jeff Jarrett and you having a sing song.
That was 2 years ago. Oh, no, sorry. He turned up in the Square Go 2 years ago the night, which was also the night that I split with my girlfriend after 13 years. But I digress.
Grado, Scotty has asked you to sing. I mean, you're not going to be able to do this. John Cena featuring Mr. T, Bad Bad Man. Do you remember that?
I fucking right, I'll be able to do that. Your boy's a bad man, and we invading the streets, making a couple. They be dropping the heat, shook the world like I'm standing alone. I fleet fools like I'm clamshell, sell your phones. You can't hold your never head to the track. Fuck the water down, rap, we be taking it back. Give it through you straight, ain't no chasing it. Check yourself in the mirror, ain't no facing it. Cause you playing a role like you're planning to fall. That's a master plan, we got the planet in hold. We over the streets like your favourite sneaker.
That's amazing, mate.
Brilliant.
Breaking up your sound like a drive-through speaker, a thing I be spitting the strong. After rock, fast forward to the rest of the song. We a monkey wrench, that's not gonna ruin your plan. And don't fuck with John Cena, I'm a bad, bad man.
That was absolutely beautiful. If you want to get in touch with us about any of that or just random wrestling-related stuff, get us on Twitter at Wrestling Daft, on Insta at Wrestling Daft Podcast, just Wrestling Daft on Facebook. Every week we like to separate the good for the bad. The E.T., the extraterrestrial, I'm making this one up, the E.T., the extraterrestrial for the xenomorph. There you go, it's the aliens, right?
That's good.
That's a good one. Didn't you want to put over or bury this week, Gredo?
Only thing I watched wrestling-wise, I watched about 75% of the first match in the Elimination Chamber. That was all right. Good fun. Cesaro's a top dog. Cesaro. He should be the champion. He is the fucking man.
I'm joining you here. Because who I'm putting over is Cesaro. Cesaro was fantastic in that fucking match.
He was amazing, but also Sami Zayn was brilliant as well. I've not seen. Sami Zayn is brilliant at playing a fucking chicken shit. Do you know what
chicken
I mean?
Chicken shit heel. He's the best. I loved that match. I loved that match. I loved the post match bit with Reigns and Bryan. I loved it. I loved all that.
Daniel Bryan was good enough. Baron Corbin, he was. I don't. That kind of brother. Come on. No, for me.
It was fine.
Do you take it you like him?
I quite like Corbin. I've got time for Corbin as a kind of heel you like to boo. And I really enjoyed that match. I thought what did you think of the event overall? You never watched the whole event, did you?
No.
John, what did you think of the event?
I really enjoyed it. I don't think WWE have had many bad pay-per-views in the last wee while.
No, but a good run.
We're on a good run out. But I'd like to have seen, you know, you're talking about Cesaro there. I would like to have seen Cesaro win the event, because that was going to be a dead rubber match. So we might as well have given Cesaro a title shot, maybe set something up further down the line, you know? Yeah.
So yep. what was the other Elimination Chamber match like? I just can't believe. I can't sit through two of their matches. I don't know.
The other one was fun. You know what I mean? The other one was fun, but it wasn't the same story as that first one, where because I completely fell for it as well. I was like with Daniel Bryan when I was watching him in that match. I was thinking he's on his way to fucking WrestleMania here. I just had a feeling like this is Daniel Bryan, because you know how he's always sitting there ready to fucking come up and get some big shot. But so it had me going. I really liked it. I enjoyed that. I'm not really wanting to bury anything this week, I don't think. No. There's nothing that really. Oh, I did. Randy Orton was sick and black stuff came out his mouth.
I saw that gif. I saw the gif of that.
And I've had enough. Right, so let's see what the punters are saying. Mick wants to put all the Premier League and the network being a fiver a month on Peacock.
By the way, has there not been any Premier League theme songs this week? Have they jacked that in
there?
There
has, actually, and there's something going on. Someone missing, I can't remember, someone tweeted us. Arsenal, again, walking out to Evolution last weekend.
Brilliant. Oh, man, that's a belter as well, that one. And Mick wants to bury heels. Stoughton mid-sentence for virtual booze, for fake booze. Ridiculous. Well said. I very well agreed with that one, Mick. Pablo's Vault of Horror. Check out his radio show if you can. What is his radio show?
He does something like a community station down in Newcastle about horror. You'd like it, Rab. It's all about horror and all that.
Beautiful. I need to check that out.
Rab, have you ever seen the film Troll 2?
I have seen the film Troll 2, yeah.
Oh, mate, I tell you what, just because I came across this documentary the other day. About
the making it and all that?
Aye,
brilliant.
Oh, it was brilliant. And then I stuck it on, man, for about half an hour, and I was pissing myself, man. It was brilliant, like, how bad it was.
Aye,
it was pure shite. I thought, I wonder if Rab's seen that.
Aye, aye. Anyway, Pablo's Vault of Horror, thought he'd get mine early in this week. He says, first to bury, Austin Aries is continuing to bury himself, so I'll add my handful of dirt. And he wants to put over the Miz for reminding people that anything can happen in wrestling, especially if they've got a Money in the Bank briefcase. I do like that they continue. I was worried for a wee bit that they were making the Money in the Bank briefcase worthless because the cash-ins hadn't been quite as, you know what I mean? It was good to see. I think people forget that a wee bit, that they really need to make that briefcase strong. They need to put the briefcase over strong. Do you know what I mean?
Can you just synopsis, summarize what's happening? So Miz is the champ. He beat Drew. He beat, what happened? Tell me what happened exactly.
Bobby Lashley battled Drew.
Right. So Bobby Lashley won the chamber.
No, Bobby Lashley had lost his belt.
US title.
His US title. And then he came in at the end of Drew's match and wrecked Drew, and then the Miz cashed in.
Right, so not today, but Elimination Chamber now.
Drew won the Elimination Chamber.
Drew won the Elimination Chamber. Bobby Lashley came out and scalped him, and Miz done the run in. Right, okay. Yeah. So what's that looking like?
I mean, it's hard to say.
Drew and Lashley at Mania?
I think it's going to be Drew and Lashley at Mania.
Wow, man.
I think Brock might come back and do Mania. I think you might. Yeah, I maybe get Bobby versus Brock on a three-way at Mania.
No, could you think the likes of, so they don't, because what's happening, is it going to be in front of a crowd? There's only going to be something.
I think they're wanting to put the belt back on Drew in front of a crowd.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I was just thinking, like, well, are you talking that Brock might show up as a surprise at WrestleMania? Because it's not as if...
I think he'll pop up at Fastlane because it's the first one they're doing on Peacock, you know, the first pay-per-view.
Aye, that's a shout. Yeah.
So they'll need to, they won't be pulling a big audience, and I bet you the he shows up like the Raw or something before, and then you put him on at Fastlane, and you know, there might be something there. Leading up to this,
I think Miz will lose it. I think it'll be Miz versus that Bad Bunny guy at WrestleMania.
Aye,
is it?
Well, I think almost certainly.
Has he been wrestling this Bad Bunny?
Well, he's been jumping off turnbuckles and all that.
Mental.
He's not been putting in a shift like I did at Kelvin Hall.
No.
He's not been putting in a proper shift.
You were great, man.
John wants to put over, no, John. Elimination Chamber, good pay-per-view, but not the best. Also, the Spycraft documentary on Netflix, worth a watch.
Oh, what's that?
Do you think it's a documentary daft you're on here?
I like this talk, right? Spycraft, I need to check that out. Tiger Woods documentary was good. Loved that. Then I spoke about that last week, didn't I?
Yeah. Sandy is putting her, while you're looking at the docs, Sandy is putting her the Miz, finally winning the WWE title. Might not last long, but he's won it before. Might not last long, but Lashley...
Spycraft's only had 6.8 in the IMDb.
Listen to IMDb. Might not last long, with Lashley destroying everybody, but it's most deserved. And he wants to bury the inconsistency of the booking of the Fiend Orton feud, dragging it out to the max. No, I did enjoy it to begin with. It's not boring. I mean, obviously it's going to be Fiend Randy Orton at WrestleMania, right? But... fucking why? Derek wants to put over the Miz, deserves another run with the belt, one of the best talkers around, probably a short run, but well deserved, and wants to bury Shane McMahon coming back. No, because of Shane, but why? What's the story here? Jason's burying the SmackDown Men's Elimination Chamber match. He's burying what we were putting over.
Come on.
If the whole point was to have Reigns squash whoever won, then why not give the win to Cesaro? Oh, there we go. There we go. The guy's highly unlikely to ever get a main event spot, so he should have gotten the win for his own personal gain. Have a solid 2 or 3 minutes with Reigns before taking the big L. And he wants to put over the Raw Men's Elimination Chamber match. Solid four contestants. Finish with Drew again. AJ, the Claymore midair was fantastic. Lashley and Miz segment also great. Big fan of the heel Miz. Hopefully it isn't just a transitional to Lashley. What else we got? Pablo wants to put our Bad Bunny on Saturday Night Live. He's pretty funny. Could do good things if given the chance. Pablo,
oh, really?
Big Bad Bunny fan. And he wants to bury tag teams in the WWE. No tag team title matches on the... You know what? Like, the tag team division in the WWE is just desperate, isn't it?
Yeah.
Willie doesn't want to jinx it, but he's preemptively putting our WWE, finally putting the title on Big Bobby Lashley. Well deserved. He's on the run of his life, and he wants to bury them. If they don't do that, he has got his heart set in Bobby Lashley versus Big Brocky Lesnar for the belt at Mania. So don't fuck it up, Vince. So there we go. Lots of buddies and put overs there. Get in touch with us if you want to share your opinions on the big wrestling stories of the day. Woo! Now, you can get more Wrestling Daft content at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. This is how you support the show. If you're enjoying the show, if you enjoy the chat, if you want to enjoy the chat for many more months to come, why not join us on Patreon? You get more content. We've set up three tiers, which you can choose to get involved with at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. That's the address. Tier 1, Cruiserweight Champion, $4 a month. On that, you get patron-only chat community, ad-free versions of all the episodes, early access to the episodes, random bonus content, the video version of the Marks podcast, voting what you want to see featured in the list of Wrestling Daft, and for the Marks Fantasy Booking Island. And Tier 2, Intercontinental Champion, for all you wonderful people who pay $10 a month, you get everything in Tier 1 as well as video version of the podcast each week. That's our one. Bonus episodes that have just went up include WrestleMind, the Buzznox quiz. We did a quiz, a wrestling quiz with the Marks, and the Dafties 2020, where the Marks look back at the best and the worst of the last year. And you can also join our Patreon pay-per-view party. Shout out to all the guys who got involved in the Royal Rumble one there and in the Elimination. Did we do an Elimination Chamber one?
We didn't, no.
Oh, we didn't do an Elimination Chamber
one. We'll be doing one.
We'll be back for Mania. We're always there for the big ones, let me tell you. Tier 3 World Heavyweight Champion, $20 a month. This is for the high rollers. This is for the Ted DiBiases out there. Everything in the previous tiers, as well as a free Wrestling Daft t-shirt, yeah, design your choice. Sign up for a minimum of 3 months and you'll get that. And get to feature on one of our shows as one of our Marks. I'll do a run-in on the show. Come and talk to us. Be one of the team. Be one of the Wrestling Daft stable. So if you fancy that and become one of our patrons, sign up now at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft, as we would love to welcome you to our stable. It's the part of the show where we invite you, the listeners, to do a run-in. Ask Grado to sing a song. Ask Rab his thoughts on The Fiend. After last week's show, however, we have another surprise guest on to answer a challenge. A challenge?
I would have a challenge set down and I thought we'd better get this person on, so here he is.
Who did the challenge?
I can't remember any of this.
Did you challenge somebody to a fight?
Oh, yeah! Wow, man. It's a long time.
Here he is.
This is
it's Rudo himself.
Oh. Well, it's a big show.
Huh? There it is.
Yeah.
No,
how you doing, man? How are you doing?
Very good. I've had stage fright almost about doing that.
Have you been practicing all week?
Nah. I done it once, and then I just went, you know what, let's just go for it off the fly. He's caught me out, but because I'm pretty sure the version I sang was the new version, which was the way, which is a bit different.
I can't tell the difference between any of them, really, can
I? Oh, I can. I know what you mean, the kind of metal version.
No, with
the speed show.
The old one, he goes, well, but right. The new one, it goes, well, it's a big show.
Oh, right.
That's good. That was pretty good.
What a day to be discussing this.
I know.
Wow,
huh? He's made the jump. We just spoke there. Grado got in touch with his brother to find out his take on. He's who we always go to when it comes to big show stuff. We always go to Grado's brother. He's getting the idea who AEW are. He's like, I don't know who that is. So how are you feeling about that big move?
It's interesting because obviously for a long time there was talk of WWE doing Shaq versus Big Show.
Mm-hmm.
And Big Show more recently said that was still his dream match. But obviously AEW have signed both of them now. So they're going to have that in AEW now as opposed to Mania, which was rumoured that was going to happen. But
That's got to happen now, right?
That's the two bit. Well, I guess the billet is what, like the two biggest athletes in the world or something against each other.
Yeah,
it would get mainstream press. Definitely,
the two old guys. They should market it as the two old guys against each other.
I think. Yeah, Andy, the new you look like a 2001 Rick Steiner. With his beard, you do. And also, which
that's
is
a crack in your beard, by the way.
It's a better man.
Under there, you know, there's been a, you know, there's stuff been happening, you know, been a lot stuff of eating going on in that.
I know, man.
Lockdown has been murder for fucking eating, but innit?
I know. Because there's no, like, it's not like you go, oh, I need to lose a bit of weight for this or you're that. Right. No. You know, you're just like, I'm in here till 2022, and that's, you know, that's the end of it.
How you been doing, Andy? Like, how's it been treating you, the lockdown?
Like, I suppose everybody, like, the first 6 months was great. You know, it was a change of pace. You know, no really much to worry about. But as time went on, because pre-COVID, not that long before COVID, I had left my job to start working in ICW and doing the family shows and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we managed to run, like, one show in February. And then, obviously, the pandemic hit. So those original shows have still been getting constantly moved every time, but I ended up having to go, and I worked for DWP. It was a home-based job, so it was like Universal Credit phone lines, so it was helping a lot of people that were needing benefits during the pandemic and stuff like that. So done that till New Year. So I'd done that right through, so I was basically working from my room for like 40 hours a week from May till December. And then I started college in January, so I'm doing like a sports development course to get me into university. Nice. So I've decided to, there's a lot of different things that you can do with that. PE teaching potentially could be something that I can look at. And I'm really interested in, it's a bit boring, the people that don't really care about it, but like it's performance analysis in football. So the guy, you know, you collect all the data and you deliver it to the manager, and the manager breaks it down, and it helps them, like the number of passes and the number of shots and all that kind of stuff. So that's kind of when I'm going with it. I'm kind of going right through the uni and that to maybe get it's 5-6 years down the line for now by the time I've done all that, but I don't know what wrestler. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to be wrestling.
Still following the Jags?
Aye.
So what is the deal with your involvement with ICW and stuff like that? And what's going on that front?
On the back burner, obviously, with the family stuff. So I've just been rescheduling that as need. I'm hoping that we moved them finally to as far to the end of the year as possible. So I'm hoping by late October, early November, we can actually have a couple of these shows. Unfortunately, we were supposed to debut in Aberdeen and Glenrothes and Fife, but it's just not practical. The venues are being used as vaccination hubs and all that and stuff like that. So we're only going to be running kind of central to Glasgow. We've got Ayr, Bathgate, and then Maryhill and Glasgow. So that should hopefully be happening soon, eventually. ICW, essentially, when we had our tapings previously, myself and Jester are kind of the producers, for lack of a better term, agents. Like, we just did a lot of new wrestlers on the show. So, I mean, it's pretty much mostly kind of new talent that needed that wee bit of extra help with just like double checking their finishes and making sure that the camera work had been like as good as like Scott Reed is at writing and Dallas is at writing. Jester and I bring a wrestler's perspective to the table because we see a lot of things that they might not see or they might not understand, and that's fine. So it's been good. It's been fun. Obviously, when Scotland went into level 4, that's when we stopped filming. So it's been a while even since that. It's been like 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
So the stuff
we're seeing, there's stuff with the behind closed door stuff we're seeing on the network just now is faith more than 3 months ago.
Aye. Yeah, definitely. Well, there's been nothing new filmed, but Bard is kind of the big special that's coming up. So I don't know the air date yet, but it'll be on the network soon because it's been all kind of filmed and whatnot. But
has it been recorded that already, the Bard one?
Aye. So that's basically the full card as cage matches. So like, there's been a number of wee feuds bubbling up to the big show, and it was fun. I think that was for me as somebody that's kind of producing wrestling. It was a really good to get my teeth right into it because it's cage matches, and you've got a show with 6 cage matches on it. So they need to all be different. They can't all be the same. Really have to rely on stories because really, when you're doing that kind of thing in closed doors, cage matches rely on the big spots and the big reactions for the crowd. And if that's not there, you've kind of got to make sure that there's a story and all that. And that's right up my street. So,
aye. It must be murder for the troops as well, wrestling in cage matches, when there's no crowds there for the adrenaline to take the sting off, bumping about, well, man. It must be a graft.
I mean, I can't even get adrenaline walking in the door to just sit and watch it, never mind the poor. But I think they get used to it, because by the time we filmed Bard, there had been sort of several tapings where the guys had kind of get used to it. I mean, I'm absolutely in no shape at all, but I think I would fancy that. I think I would thrive in that environment, because sometimes an audience annoys me too much and it gets them like... I would like to give it a bash behind closed doors, I think.
God, do you remember when we... I'm just popping
in. Nobody's shouting, you're shite, you're fat, you're shite.
Do you remember that night? I mean, we wrestled each other loads and loads and loads of times, but do you remember that night we tried to wrestle in Kilmarnock, man?
2 seconds, my computer's going to die if I don't plug it in. It's a race against time, man.
I'm sure I've spoke about this before.
It was in your I think it was one of your Gradle kind of 1-to-1 things, and we were talking about it. Quick Kelly, I always think about this, and it's funny because I feel like I have this conversation with you in my head, but we've never actually spoke about it.
I always think
about it, like, just randomly. I go, why did we do that?
You bet on a match, why did
we'd been doing this match. I mean, hadn't it been that long since like the whole thing had kicked off? It was probably only a few months. So, you know, we didn't need to differentiate for what we'd done, but for this reason, this night, we're like, come, we'll go out and we'll show everybody that we can, you know, wrestle a wee bit.
We can do it.
We'll do a bit of wrestling tonight, and everybody'll be, you know, what the fuck we think? We should have just been there and done what we normally done. And I came back, I was so disappointed, man. In fact, it wasn't even that. It was like we were trying to do like WWE spots, like, and we made an arse of it, and nobody was listening. Like,
was that also the same night as well? But man, Hank Wanny has had a big fucking cagoule on. We're in the gents' toilet, man. We're fucking teeing up how we're going to, how I'm going to reverse out of a fucking pedigree. Wanny's maybe got an unlit fag and we're gubble at with cagoules on.
You see, Wanny is all the things but me.
Aye. But the best of it was you come back, man, if I go, nobody cared, man. Nobody cared. We were wrong about that ring like a pair of slobs.
but it was like nobody wanted to see us, no. The like pedigrees and rock bottoms.
Hoffman.
What? It was the last time, man. We never done it again.
Oh man, I fucking miss wrestling you, man. It's honestly the best. Right at the start, man. What do you think? Because I mean, when you think about it, I don't mind talking about all this now, but like, really, with me and you, the match that we had August 5th, 2012, it really did start a lot of things, didn't it?
Aye, it did.
People listen to this, other British wrestlers will go fuck off, but you know what? No, it really actually did. Well, it did, man.
I went on a wee nostalgia trip quite recently, and I watched like the British Wrestler and Insane Fight Club and all that. And when you watch British Wrestling, I messaged you, Gado. You probably still know read it, but
probably, man.
I showed my son the British Wrestler, like, not the full thing, but I showed him that segment of the thing where it was us.
And my name is Andrew Mason. Believe it. I play the part of Red Lightning.
he couldn't believe, like, he knew I was a wrestler and that, but he's never really been that into himself, and he couldn't believe this. He was like, that's not right, that's not you. I'm like, it is, mate. So then it ended up, I was able to sit and show him kind of everything that went on for there, like the full match, and he was dead interested in that. But we, I think the way that it was going, like, obviously I was the big bad guy and you were coming through, and it was like, just the most perfect kind of, like, the stars just aligned, like, it was like lightning in a bottle. Like, that garage that night was so busy. Like, there was, like, 600 and odd folk in there. Mm-hmm. You'd had a bus coming up for, like, Stevenson, and it was just perfect, because we went on early, then we'd done the thing at the end, and when we went on, it was just like, this is, and the ring broke, and it didn't even matter.
Didn't it?
And nobody remembers that part of that match. Like, the ring broke, like, 2 minutes into that, and we still had the full match the way it was supposed to go without the middle rope. It was just, like, it was just mental. But it was sort of for me, and obviously for you as well, but it was the type of thing that I always imagined myself being involved in. Like when you're watching ECW, maybe when you're a wee guy, and you're like, how cool is that, man? That's it. But we actually done that. Mm-hmm. Like, we genuinely done that. And sometimes when you get a bit down on your wrestling, and you get a bit down on yourself in wrestling, because there's highs and lows, but you've always got to look back at that and go, we actually done that. Like, that was like, there was everybody in that Gary's that night was busting to see this match, and there's no a lot of matches of, you know, there's been interest in this guy versus this guy, but the people were heavily, heavily invested in this, like, because they were so invested in you as the good guy, and they absolutely hated Mask, like, they hated me so much, and they wanted you to win so much because they just couldn't stand me. And the fact that obviously it was kind of an angle, but when you won, and it was like, he's actually, you know, it's like, you know, the wee team beating the big teams, so to speak, in a sport. It was just I'll never forget the reaction, like, you know, at the end and all that. It was just,
was that your favourite time in the ring, Andy?
I'd have to say so. I mean, I don't even think anything comes remotely close to that. I mean, the SEC with Foley and that, but that wasn't a match for me. It was obviously one of my favourite moments, but in terms of an actual match, there's no way that I could even pick something that would be anywhere close to that.
But that was the kind of situation you dreamt about, right, when you were younger. You dreamt of being in a situation like that, and dreamt when you were training and when you were coming up. You were dreaming of a situation like that. See if you're dreaming now, right? If you allow yourself to dream now at this moment, we're here in the middle of this pandemic, we're sitting. Because you're still a young guy, right? You're still a young guy. What's a new dream for you? I know you're talking about stuff, you're making smart decisions for like a long-term career for yourself and stuff like that. But what's the dream now?
A new dream for me, or it's always kind of been a dream for me, I would just like a good, solid run. Like, I can't sit here and go, I'd love to sign for WWE. You know, I'd be lying if I didn't. But the reality of that for me gets further and further away as years go by. Like, we're sitting here now, it's 2021. I mean, next year, the Grado match will have been 10 years. So for me, I think I would like to get back to, because a lot's happened in that time. It's been a long time. I'd probably like to get back to that point, like, to be that character that people hate so much, because that got to a certain point where people started to enjoy it, as we kind of most of these things. So I think at the 2012 kind of 13 point, people were fed up with me, you know, did not like me. But as time went forward, when we went into the kind of the Black Label stuff, that entertained people. What they liked to play along. But
you've always been quite, I've always felt that you're a really unselfish
wrestler.
I feel like you've spent a long time, I think, kind of lifting up other talent and supporting other talent and helping to put other talent over, whether that's on the mic or whether it's like managing them or, you know, or working with them. Do you feel like, you know, like you say, time is passing, it is 2021, do you feel like maybe you should be a bit more selfish when things start back up again?
Potentially, I feel that, you know, and people have told me this as well, that I could maybe be a bit more aggressive about, you know, my business side of things, in terms of, but me kind of putting people over and helping elevate people, I think I couldn't tell you who it is. You know, you'll know yourself, Grado, even yourselves. Like, that's one thing that a veteran would always tell you, is that be that guy, you know, that people are willing to work with and want to work with, because they know that it's going to be good for them. And for me, you know, that was how Grado and I ended up working together in the first place, because I was the guy, you know, that was going to help him start his journey, and that's kind of been my thing. But I may, you know, I think definitely if I were to wrestle, because I mean, I'm in absolutely no, I mean, I'm nowhere near being able to wrestle. Like, I mean, I could be honest with you, I mean, it would be about 6 months of training for me, because I've not wrestled since 2019, like nearly 2 years. So I think for me, it would need to be something really different. I think, like, we've done the kind of the Rudo brand and the black label and the gold label, and that's my thing, clearly, is like groups and being surrounded by other people with different dynamics. But I'm always at the front, and it's hard to be that there. Like, when I came back from my injury, won the square go again, it was difficult to do that. It's such a, because you're at the forefront, and I don't mean to be at the forefront. I always end up there, and I know that, but I would like to maybe just blend in a bit more. Like, winning the square go and having meant to be having high profile matches, like, throughout that year, it was stressing me out, you know.
I remember
I feel like my best work has been when I've no expected it, you know. Like, we didn't expect the Grado phenomenon just kind of happened, and we weren't really expecting it. It wasn't something that we'd planned. It was just something that happened naturally, and it was the right thing to do. So I think I would probably like to blend in a bit more, like, into the background, so that I can maybe relax a bit, and then I might start producing, like, better work through that.
I get what you mean by that. I totally get what you
mean. Because you're both in quite an interesting position, I think, because, I mean, you're both, I suppose, got to think about how you re-enter the stage when wrestling kind of comes back, because in a sense, what you said earlier is completely true. It's like, you know, I watch NXT UK now and stuff like that, and you see, you see the kind of progress influence there and all of that, right? And then obviously there's ICW talent involved and stuff like that. You know what I mean? And I always think about the fact that this was kind of ground zero for all that for me was you two. You know what I mean? And that's quite a... I always think about it in terms of, like, someday somebody's going to make a documentary about the reality. No, like, Insane Fight Club is as great as their shows were, but no, as great as they were, but I mean, like, a genuine documentary about the story of how British wrestling went from being kind of out of fashion and kind of just kind of hanging on to suddenly being the big thing with the buzz again, you know what I mean? And used to will be central to that. And I just kind of feel like there's a fucking third act. I feel as if there's a third act now, do you know what I mean? And it's interesting that you two guys are kind of, you know, you haven't been picked up by the WWE, you're only there. And because of that, I think the weird thing is, because of that, you two are probably cooler. Weirdly, you two have, seriously, there's just something I think maybe more real about you two. And you don't have that thing of that kind of, like, WWE corporate.
But if I get that email, you know, it's...
I know. But I'm just saying, it just feels like, I'm just thinking it from a kind of story point of view, and you're thinking, if you're making a documentary about this story, there's fucking, it feels like there's something else there. It feels like there remains your Rocky Balboa moment in this, you know what I mean? For bathies, because you both have to reconsider how to enter the stage. You know, there might be a lot of neutrals out there and people out there that kind of think, well, you know, Grado's doing stuff now that's kind of away from wrestling to an extent, you know what I mean? And you're doing your training and stuff like that, and you're producing and all that kind of stuff in it. And maybe people are maybe thinking, well, maybe not going to see the two of you in the same way. And I suppose it's just an interesting, angle to that as well, you know what I mean? There's a positive and kind of hopeful angle to that.
I'll be honest, I mean, as the kind of times went on throughout being in lockdown and COVID, I mean, everybody's done that, I guess, that kind of soul searching and what's next and what's going to happen after this. And wrestling, you know, for a while there, it just wasn't in my heat. Like, I'd almost become kind of tired of it, and was just wanting to try and forget about it. But
like, mate, the only
I just can't do that. Like, it always comes back. It's and before, obviously, before we've been on this, but the last couple of weeks, man, I've been wrestling mental. I've been have reading you? Books and I got the Young Bucks book. Brilliant.
But, I bought the Dave Meltzer book, but see, it's weird. I've been the same as you in terms of the only wrestling involvement I've had is this podcast on a Wednesday night, every night.
Aye, but the
football, I struggle to watch it.
Obviously, I'm doing the college and the uni and try to just get some skills and whatever. And football's obviously something that I'm passionate about as well, but it's just wrestling's at another level. Do you know what I mean? Like, you could ask me anything. You know what I mean? Like, there's. It's such a subject matter, like, it's crazy how mental I'm about wrestling and always have been. And now, like, going back to what we were saying earlier, like, I need to pinch myself almost and go, no, you know, you've got this.
Yeah, and you do need to do that, mate. You do need to stick a step back.
Thinking when you were, I mean, we're going on now, but, you know, 20 years ago, I was, you know, about to actively pursue becoming a wrestler, and I dreamt about that for so long, like, I was never going to not do it. And it's like, you can't come on this way to just step off at the age of 34. Things have been hard. You've had an injury. There's been a lot of mental health issues come way being a performer, as you know. But it's too far, man. You can't back out now.
You can't back out because, and I'll tell you why you can't back out, because nobody in fucking British wrestling have what yous did. Just what you spoke about earlier, Andy, and this even extends to the fact, you know, you've got Drew, for example, right, who has been WWE champ, who's in that position now and stuff, right? But he's only in that position, and I'm sure he would admit this himself, because he came back, he left the WWE, he came back, he started working the indies again, building up the buzz again, came to ICW, had that amazing run in ICW, way Grado in the ring, and oi, that environment that was there in ICW wouldn't have fucking existed if it wasn't for what happened with yous two at that fucking point at ground zero. It wouldn't have happened.
I'm not going to argue with you, Rob.
But it wouldn't have happened. But this is just the truth, and this is what we know. And this is, weirdly, I was talking, but I didn't even know you were coming on the show tonight, Andy. And weirdly, at the start of this show, I was saying, I'll be fucking talking about this later. You go on the WWE Network, and it's great that you've got the British shows on there and stuff like that, but there's nothing on there that genuinely and honestly tells the story of why there's a fucking British WWE champion now. There's nothing that honestly tells a story about why there's an NXT UK. There's nothing that properly tells a story about why these British promotions are on the WWE Network and they're on there because of fucking you guys.
You can't say that. You can't.
I'm saying it.
Fucking let them.
I'm fucking saying it.
But mate, I mean, honestly, sometimes I always think to myself as well.
Other people as well. It's not just us.
Obviously, there was other people involved, but we were all fucking there. We all witnessed it. We all witnessed it, and we all saw that it was that rivalry between you two guys that were the fucking cool thing that caused that fucking big bang that made everything happen. Aye. Everybody knows it.
I mean, great. I mean, understandably, like, Grado, no hanging about after that, like, once the insane fight clubs get made and all that. But unfortunately for me, I wasn't involved in insane fight club, probably more through choice and my own stupid fault for being skeptical of it. So I missed that, and that was kind of where both of us started to drift apart in terms of, like, our characters. They were no longer involved with each other and stuff like that, and then we moved on to different stuff. I was lucky because, I mean, there was a couple of years even, you know, when Grado, you were kind of going through, you'd gone over to TNA, going over to the States and all that. I wasn't even wrestling at that point.
I know you weren't.
It got that bad for me that I wasn't even wrestling. This is way after Kelvin Brawl and that. But I was lucky that ICW brought me back in that kind of wee GM thing, and then it just...
And then we done the stuff together as well, man.
Aye. We were able to just go.
Loved.
We were able to just go, man. Aye, but things are different now. Do you know what I mean? There was a lot of people in your ear at that time, but they were right. You know, they were probably right in saying that you had WOS in the horizon and potentially a heel turn at that particular point in your career wasn't the right thing for you. And you can't argue with that. That's probably right. You know what I mean? But you know, maybe now it's different. You know. Like, for me as a promoter, Grado the wrestler will always be a central kind of part of my, you know, my group. Like, it's difficult. I would say, like, you know, you need that, I think. Like, you need that kind of top line guy. Like, a Cena, like, you would be the, you're the Scottish Cena.
I reckon, like, that's his way as well. I remember when ICW were doing the tapings and that, it was during the lockdown, and I know we were talking about going back, and I was just like, I just don't feel it's right, because there has been that length of time where I've not been on there, and I just feel going back, like, I need to, I never made the best job of protecting my gimmick, my image, certainly in the last couple of years, say, my wrestling run. So now it needs to be done right. It needs to be for the right idea, the right thing. It can't just me turning up and cutting promos. And
aye, but
it needs
also
to be done right, man.
As ICW's audience evolved and everything else within the company evolved, it became less of a place where you would see Grado, you know, the Grado character. It's like, people have done that. You know, it's hard to do it again, but then your thing for me is like the family shows and the kids, and the, you know, they enjoy watching you, and they'll always enjoy it, and the parents love it. And it's a much, I think wrestling, the kind of adult wrestling scene now, is too many people are, you know, they're looking for the wrong things, and they, you know, each to their own, but people aren't really there to invest in it as much as they were, you know, back in 2012-13 when it was something fresh and new. I think that the audience has changed great, like, massively. They're more interested in, you know, the kind of all elite wrestling kind of style of matches and stuff like that, and they're big into their technical wrestling and stuff, and, you know, that's just, you know, what happens. But it's weird. But it would be hard in this day and age to do what we done.
I know.
Back then. Do you know what I mean? Like,
because I'll tell you something, right? Because see how in 2012, I always think this as well. At that point, you're right. It was, we were gravitating to a proportion of young adult fans who maybe watched the wrestling on the telly. You know, they'd watch Raw on a Friday night and stuff like that. And then when they started going out and they grew up, they kind of grew away from wrestling. And then when they seen us coming and we were cutting promos and we didn't have an American accent, and but it wasn't embarrassing, it wasn't cringy, and folk were like, wow, man, what is this?
It was diff.
This is getting, you know, and our match in 2012, ICW was drawing anyway, right? ICW was. But it was ICW was a draw. However, that night when we wrestled, I felt as if it was one of the first ever times in British wrestling in a long time. Fans had paid money for that match. They were coming to see that match, and that hadn't been, that wasn't really what was happening back then.
And even then, when you think about the wider scale, you know, everything back then, the production values, the video editing, everything was a lot less kind of vibrant and professional as it is now. Like, you know, we never had a video package,
but it was brilliant when it was raw, and there was something cool about that.
It was just filming on a mad, like, aye, filming on your phone, like your Sony Ericsson phone, putting it in YouTube, and that was it. Like, aye, and then kind of even Twitter wasn't really a thing back then. It was weird because it just caught this. I think for that, I mean, everybody takes the, you know, the credit for certain things, but I specifically remember me at the end of, I think the night you done the six man with Drew McDonald and Wolfie and that, I can't even remember who had it. That might have been the night I won the belt. That was my first show as the champ. Mm-hmm. And there had been a big carry on. So I remember at the end of that show, I approached Dallas and I asked him if I could wrestle you. I was saying, you need to do me versus Grado. And it took a bit of, not at that point, like, obviously I said he would think about it, but it took just a wee bit of trying to convince everybody that, you know, this is the right thing to do. And I was comfortable with that because it was like, that was my ideal scenario. You know what I mean? Like, you're coming in, I'm having to try and maybe at that point kind of lead the match a wee bit. in the story and try to get all of that right, because obviously, which is rare for British wrestling, which again is something that we were lucky at, that was that there was a crowd there that were ready to react to every single thing we done. Mm-hmm. And they were there, you know, before the, and that's what you're skimming back to saying about like people pay to see the match. Like on a show, you can have two guys wrestling each other and they'll be very, you know, the crowd will take to them and they'll bite on what they're doing. But we had already done that. By the time your music hit and my music hit, the crowd were there. And that's the most difficult part in wrestling, is getting that investment from the audience. Once you've got that, you're absolutely on, not easy street, but every single thing we done, like, you know, we waited a wee while until we took a bump, and the first bump was like, yes!
Aye.
And just the way that it was all placed, and everybody was just going absolutely mental, and it was gratifying, like, for me anyway, to get that kind of, because everybody in the locker room was interested in it, you know, everybody wanted to watch it. Everybody was watching it, everybody was excited about it. It wasn't just us, you know, the roster and the management, they were excited. And it was kind of, for me, my first kind of time where I thought to myself, like, you're actually not all right at this. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
aye.
You've actually done this, like, you've done a pretty good job here. So, aye.
This is a big to be continued, boys, because
aye.
You've got a lot to talk about you two.
We should maybe do that.
Because you're in quite fucking similar, you know, positions. Like thinking about how do we come back? You know what I mean? What is the next step? What is the third act? And viewing it like that, like a big fucking broad story. Because you know, it might be. You probably should fucking remind people where it started.
I mean, personally, and I'd said this before the lockdown and stuff like that, like, if I was in charge of an NXT UK and I was wanting to run a live event schedule, Gradle would be an important part of that puzzle, you know, in order to travel the UK and promote live events and have that kind of person that you can bring people in to watch. It would be, I mean, I don't know how you would do on TV, Gradle, but
I'm not a TV wrestler.
But the live event side of it, you know,
you're
that.
Right. Aye, you're like, totally right, mate.
That would definitely be what I would say. But then I don't make any decisions, unfortunately, yet.
But the Perrys have got a brilliant wrestling mind. I've not got the mind for the way yous have always had that. Yous have always been at a different level of how to tell a story and stuff like that, because I've never been quite at the races there with that kind of stuff. And I've always said yous should be involved in stuff, British wrestling, whether it's writing it, producing it, dealing with the troops. It's fucking, it's beggar's belief why it's not happening.
It's to be continued, boys.
Listen to us, man. Why are we
let's keep our powders dry.
I'm better than
shocking,
him.
But you should be signed. No, you should be signed.
He couldn't even write his own address.
Listen, see, the only one that shouldn't be signed is John. You shouldn't be signed, John.
Bill John's off of quiet. He's dizzy day.
No, he's sitting there
fucking half asleep. He's half asleep. You see when he does this.
He's the AEW fan. He'd be the man going, watch this going, this is shit.
Well, listen, let's leave it early than now. Rudo, thanks so much for coming on. Andy, it's great to see you. Glad you're doing well. Give everybody my best as well, right? At ICW and stuff, right? See you later.
Catty bye.
You just made the list.
Everybody loves lists, so every week we like to bring you our list of wrestling daft. You can vote for what you want us to talk about at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. This week we gave you two options, and they were your unpopular wrestling opinion versus best wrestling cameos in TV and film. And with 61% of the vote, quite a close vote this time, it was the unpopular opinions that won. So I am going to do my top three unpopular opinions. Now, I'm going to try not to offend anybody here, right, when I'm doing this. I don't want to offend anybody here. So, my number three unpopular opinion. I'm not sure. See, this is a confusing one for me, by the way, because I'm not sure whether I was supposed to order it in, like, as number one, the one I think that everybody will disagree with.
I would say so, yeah, that's the way to do it.
Okay. My number three unpopular opinion is this. Wrestling fans need to acknowledge that the WWE has psychologically and practically monopolized the entire wrestling business to an even greater extent than they know. So I've been thinking about this for quite a while now, as I've been trying to distance myself from the products, and I'm looking at it, and with the exception of what NWA were doing with NWA Power on YouTube before the pandemic hit, everything has got the shadow of WWE hanging over it, and they just can't shake it off. AEW has already started to get that monkey on their back of a kind of
O'Neil and all that kind of
fixation with all WWE ideas and all WWE talent. While I'm really happy about people I know, including people in my family, being on like NXT UK and all that, and I'm happy about British promotions being on WWE Network, it's a completely they have been swallowed up by WWE. It hangs over the top of fucking everything. And I think people the new are kind of like, oh, this is cool, there's lots of cool stuff going on. And I kind of feel like WWE are making millions and millions and millions. And they're so solidified and so safe. They are in a stronger position. I know everybody goes, their ratings are shite and all that. I don't think they fucking care. I don't think they need to care anymore about ratings. They're in a stronger position now than they've kind of ever been. And people have kind of just let it happen. I'm kind of worried about the situation. I'm not sure how unpopular that opinion is.
So the Peacock deal, they don't need to really worry about ratings as such, didn't they? No, that's not their gig anymore. It's like, well, that's who is going to broadcast them, so it's their issue, isn't it?
The WWE have won.
Right.
This is basically what my number three is. The WWE have won completely. Aye. They have dominated all the indies. They've dominated all the scenes that were rising up. And even their biggest competitor, the new, which is AEW, kind of play too closely into WWE stuff. They kind of they play like, and I think that's how they've got to play it. So,
and it's not going to change.
No, and it's not going to change. Number two, Bret the Hitman Hart as talented as he was in the ring, and oh my God, how talented was that guy in the ring? Is a fucking terrible promo.
Oh, what the heck, yeah.
And he could never be, you could never call him a complete or one of the best of all. I see sometimes people saying he was the number one of all time, none of it. The guy was no good on the mic.
But do you ever, would you argue, but it's good, but to sometimes go back and watch the videos of him cutting promos? Because I don't think that's an unpopular opinion, right? But it's actually quite interesting to see him try to string a promo together. And also in 1997, when he probably done his best work, like a lot of the stuff was actually coming for the hurt. And it maybe wasn't put over as strong as what another wrestling promo was. It's still interesting to go back and listen to them and watch them. I don't know. Does that make sense?
There are moments where Bret Hitman Hart's promos work, primarily when he's a heel or when he's being heelish.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy was just not. The guy was, you know, and I feel bad talking about Hitman because Hitman's great, and this is why I'm saying it. It's unpopular with me, even this opinion, but the guy could never be considered the complete package because he didn't have that aspect of the business. And my number one, which I think might be the one that pisses Grado off the most. Time has not been kind to ECW. ECW, their workers in their matches don't really stand up anymore when you watch the shows. I think it was a product of its time. I don't think you're talking about quality wrestling there. I don't think there was a lot. I mean, I've been checking this over the past few while as well. I've been watching wee things here and there and stuff, and it has not aged well at all, which is interesting because you can go back and watch some of the old fucking WCW shows and NWA shows and stuff like that, and some of the old stuff of the territories, and it's great stuff. And the ECW stuff just Disney stone up. Even things like some highly rated RVD matches and stuff like that, you just kind of watch and you're kind of like, fuck me, maybe you had to be there. I think maybe you had to be there.
I know what you mean, but I mean, I still love going back and watching them and putting myself back to when I was a young boy going, wow, man, this is different. This is good. They swear, the entrance music. I know what you mean, but I don't think it needs to stand up. Do you know what I mean?
Good, well said. Right, so wasn't it that unpopular? I don't have that many unpopular opinions. Oh, I can see why it's really going to fucking annoy me here. Right, so here's see what the punters have said. Paul says, my boy Lex Luger's WWF 93-94 run was underrated. Should have had the belt at SummerSlam 93. I was never a fan of Lex Luger, I need to be honest. Gredo?
The Lex Luger stuff, totally fucking never even seen that, to be honest with you.
Right, never seen go. That. Andy says, Cena's Rumble return is overhyped. Nah.
I don't think at the time it was as big as when I go look at it back now. At the time, I probably wasn't as arsed. However, because of the reaction in the crowd, because it's at the Garden, it's got that, oh, that was
cool.
You
can't fake that. You can't fake that. Mm. I like X-Pac, he says as well, Andy. Never got what X-Pac Heat was about.
Agreed.
And he thinks Bart Gunn could have been world champ.
There was no way. I mean, X-Pac Heat is, I don't even really think it existed. I think it was just a kind of cool thing to say. I think there's plenty of worse Change the Channel wrestlers to put out and about then and now.
Name them.
Well, I like to The Miz. I kind of get into any of The Miz does. I watch that and I go, that's, oh man.
Talking about the fucking champ there.
I know, but it's just civil it's not for me. It's not for me. I've never kind of bought into it. I just think, oh, this is shit.
Scott says, Cesaro and Ziggler both have been pushed correctly. Neither are top of the card main event stars. Good mid-card guys, and that's it.
That's maybe an all right shout.
That's not an unpopular opinion, I wouldn't say. I think that's fair enough. Mm-hmm. Callum says, ICW wrestlers shout and swear too much.
Agreed. I agreed. And I've probably been guilty of it myself. I remember the amount of times that I sent promos to ICW promos to guys, and they would go, you just need to cut out that swearing, man. What's the crack? But I think it's got to do with, a lot of it's got to do with inexperience. Remember those guys going out there that don't have, at the time, I mean, I know they've got producers and stuff like that now, but at the time it was a matter of, right, go out and cut a promo and this is the point. And it's that easy to be in the moment to start swearing. It is. That's
it my is, opinion. But also people need to remember as well that it's a Scottish product. It's a Glasgow product, mm-hmm. And we swear.
True.
We swear all the time. Ryan says, Shawn Michaels is very much overrated as an in-ring performer.
Don't agree with that. No, oh, that's
an unpopular opinion. I hate that opinion. I hate it, Ryan. Can
I give you one you'd hate even more, Ryan?
Yeah, tell me. Have you been no saying about Mr. Perfect?
No, I'm not going to say about Mr. Perfect. I think everyone says Flair's one of the best. I think promo-wise, absolutely. I think in-ring, nah.
Oh, come on.
Nah, do you know what? But see how back in the day, but do you know all the old guys hated Flair because he'd done the same, what they felt he'd done the same match in every territory, and it was basically exposing the business because he'd done the same match everywhere. But, nah, I love, man. I love watching the old Steamboat matches, the Chi-Town Rumble, which was apparently like 30-odd years ago there, or 34, I don't know. Man, Flair's different.
Even look at, as an example, even just look at Ric Flair's performance in that retirement match against Shawn Michaels, which is just one of the greatest fucking in-ring performances you'll see for anybody. I'm not having it.
Do you know what people were talking about recently, and I agree, you know what Disney got a lot of mention? Fucking Steamboat's run in 2009. Wow.
Aye.
So you go back and watch Steamboat's run then, man. I can't remember, there's a Jericho he wrestled. He done a couple of kind of freeways. That doesn't get anywhere near the fucking.
If Ricky Steamboat with the talent he had been a white guy, do you think he would have been a much, much bigger star than he was? Obviously he was a very, very popular wrestler, but do you think in that fucking old school racist world that wrestling was back then. Do you think if he was a white guy that could deal with that, it would have been a different story? That
I spent a bit of time with Steamboat Man. He wasn't exactly the most, what do you call somebody that's not racist? I was saying the guy who was racist, man, but he was a bit like listening to your granny, your papa talking. Do you know what I mean? Can that way.
They were all schoolies, boys, right? Lee says the Authority era was the highlight of the 2010s. Hated watching it at the time, but compared to now, where I feel indifferent to 95% of the roster and struggle to get excited for Mania and the Rumble, I feel like pure shite. Just want corporate Kane and J&J security back.
That's funny.
I don't mind that stuff. Jamie says John Cena is an all-time great. Five moves of doom talk is a lot of shite. That's not an unpopular opinion.
No, I think I agree with that. Maybe. Yeah, he is an all-time great. He is
an all-time great. I mean, what else can you say? Graham says, Rusev is worse off in AEW than he ever was treated in the WWE.
I agree with that.
I think I agree with that as well. At the minute, I don't like how he's...
I don't think he cares, but...
I don't like what's happening there. But, I think the guy's having fun and, fuck it.
Get to wear his Gucci trackies and all that. And...
Nice to Wrestler says WWF in 95 was superb. The rise of Shawn Michaels to the main event, Bulldog in the title picture, proper women's wrestling, getting a spotlight, Brett in top form against guys like Hakushi, Pierre Lafitte, Diesel, etc. There were shite bits, King Mabel, for example, but overall, I loved it. I think you're right there. That was a really, really interesting period, or new blood stuff.
Good,
or a new talent coming up. Pedro says Japanese wrestling is hard to watch.
Agree to some extent. Sometimes I remember, but as a young boy, I'd get the DVDs for all the world. I'd get your American Indies, I'd get your British wrestling. And sometimes the Japanese wrestling was a graft. And I think even trying to watch that, the dome shows, they're a bit... I'm with him in that one. What I do like is I like the comedy stuff that... See, likes Kikitaro and stuff like that. I love that. I love him. I think that's superb.
Graham says, Jim Cornette slagging current wrestling is more entertaining than the actual wrestling.
Agreed. When I go to my Want in the Moment, I either listen to a Rangers podcast or I listen to Jim Cornette. And whether you agree with him or no, whether you think he's racist, he's this, he's that, it's fucking so entertaining. This week he had a lawyer on, his mad lawyer, Stephen Pinot, and he was dissecting all Joey Ryan's legal issues and what he's gone in court. And I'm sitting here going, I love all this shit. I know you don't give him the light of day, but it's entertaining, man. It's so entertaining.
Chris Scullion says, I want to see Brawl for All return with the current WWE roster. How good would that be, by the way? Who would have a shot of... Imagine they did Brawl for All. They should date Brawl for All and the winner of Brawl for All fights Conor McGregor. How fucking big would that be? Imagine they did Brawl for All again and the winner fights Conor McGregor at WrestleMania. That would be the biggest fucking match of all time.
Who is the hardest fucking WWE then?
Who would win it?
Cesaro would be up there, eh?
Cesaro would be up there, I think.
Aye. No
one's going to be able to fucking go near Braun Strowman.
Braun Strowman? Don't know, man. All that kind of greeting and all that. I don't know.
Roman Reigns can handle his cell, right?
Aye.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns.
Big Roman can handle his cell. Because he's a good looking guy. What? Baron Sorry, John.
Corbin's, Baron Corbin was a boxer before he entered wrestling.
Yep.
What's boxing got to do when I'm jumping about your head?
That's Brawl for All, though. Just punching.
That would be interesting. I might need to email Vince about that. I might need to email Vince and say, listen, day Brawl for All again.
You need to see the dark side of the ring rab with Brawl for All. It's fucking brilliant, man. It's sad, man.
Day Brawl for All, winner fights Conor McGregor at WrestleMania. Fucking biggest thing ever. They should do a women's Brawl for All. And the winner fights Ronda Rousey.
Aye.
What about that? Who would win a women's Brawl for All?
Nia Jax.
You love Nia Jax, John.
You do, man.
You love Nia Jax, Kiro. You're talking about, you're always going on about her.
Ach, I know, I can.
But I think we are quite a Nia Jax positive show, aren't we? Mm-hmm. We're always quite supportive of Nia Jax. Grado, do you have any unpopular opinions before we moved on?
Just that I think wrestling's shite now. Woo! Right, we've got loads of gear so you can look the top dog while sitting in the house. Your designs, including the mark, is here. With a coat pick of the wrestling. Say it again, mate. This is fucking ridiculous, mate. Right. Wrestling Daft merch. We've got a load of gear so that you can look top dog while sitting in the house. The designs right now include The Mark Is Here, with a picture of the Wrestling Daft belt, Wrestling's Kid Own, and the immortal quote from the immortal Hulk Hogan, "Good night, Hulkamaniacs and jabroni marks without a life that don't know what a work when you put a work and work yourself into a shoot, Marks." That's on a t-shirt. Put the classics on. How dare you? Come on. I'm a tickle bump for you. Chips, cheese and Donabee and Margaret, they're a fiend. Not only that, we've got hoodies, face masks, phone covers, trucker caps, bum bags and aprons. Just at shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/ Wrestling Daft. Bad news though, the merch stand has rejected our spooky club design, the one that ripped off the Bullet Club, and that was for copyright reasons. Don't worry though, our boy Kyle Customs is working on a workaround, so check our range at shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/ Wrestling Daft now, or check your links on our Facebook page or on Twitter, and it's at Wrestling Daft.
We all have that one story in a locker that we break out when we're trying to impress somebody. So take that one story and put it in a wrestling environment. That's all we're asking you today, and that's exactly what we do on this Wrestling Daft Road story. You send us your story, and we imagine that we are two wrestlers on the way back for the show, trying to pop each other with a shaggy dog story. Start that motor, Gredo.
Let's go. Stop half of the garage for some vape liquid in it.
What flavour are you on these days?
I'm on purple berry, 1.8%. I'm in.
It's no good for you, that stuff, mate.
I know, mate. Tell me about it. My ticker's in some neck, I'll tell you. It's in some neck. These bumps. Anyway, let me tell you a story, Rob.
Oh, I'd love to hear a wee story.
Do I hear one?
It makes the drive go faster.
Right. Here's a story, right? Hey, so, Rob, here's a crack, man. I was about 10 years old and I was in the BBs, the Boys Brigade. Do you remember that?
No, I remember them, aye.
Well, I mean, I still think it's a hang unless it's been exposed as a big kind of massive pedo ring or something like that.
Yeah, maybe shouldn't have said that, right? Okay. Right.
Anyway, one week, it was announced that we were going to be doing a big talent show hang with a big bunch of BBs for the local area. So, Rob, we get tell, we're going to be doing a Star Trek theme, and I get the part of a certain Dr. Crusher. Brilliant. That's what I say to myself. He sounds like a big hard bastard that does a lot of crushing. That's what I thought. So we spent a couple of weeks practicing before the show, and Rob, I missed the dress rehearsal because I wasn't well. Bear in mind, listen, Rob, nowhere in this script it gives me a first name. It's just Dr. Crusher. So, it turns up in the night of the show. I'm on my da. They're with me. They're here to watch the show. I heads backstage. The first thing that happens when I get there is the old woman who's looking after stuff and she's taking care of stuff backstage. And she says, "Right, Beverly, you go and sit over there and we'll get your makeup started." And I'm thinking to myself, who's Beverly? But then I also think to myself, this woman's always been a wee bit strange. So I just went away and I kind of sat down. So I'm sitting there, Rob, right? Sitting there next to a bunch of other wee guys, right? Jodie and Worf, they're all getting blacked up. Wee guys getting big Prince Charles ears stuck on. I think he was a Ferengi.
Ferengi.
Next, but I'm sitting there and I start getting lipstick, mascara, eyeshadow put on me. So at this point, Rob, I'm getting a wee bit confused. But then it all started to make sense when somebody handed me a big pair of plastic tits, arse padding, and a ginger wig, and I was told to go and put my dress and my heels on. Turns out Dr. Crusher was a woman. The heels and dress appear to have belonged to the old woman, so the heels were too small, and the dress skimmed my arse. Apparently Dr. Crusher was a bit of a slag.
I can still
remember the horror on the parents' faces as we wandered onto the stage. Bunch of skinny wee guys in various states of blackface. Me shuffling about the stage like Tina Turner on roller skates. Worf with bits of ham in his face as we all danced to Star Trekking and we did our replay. Mortifying. The worst part, Rob, is we never won.
story, mate. That's a hell of a story. No, that just sounds made up, that story, doesn't it? To me, it sounds entirely made up. It's hard to believe that any of that was true. A couple of wee accuracy moments as well. Dr. Beverly Crusher never ever wore a dress in the series. I'm pretty sure that was not Starfleet uniform. a good possibility there was a bit of kind of racist blackface happening at the BB.
The recreated Worf by hanging bits of ham from him.
It's a bizarre story. Who sent that story in?
It was Sean who sent that one in.
I demand some kind of corroboration. He needs to swear to us that really happened, because it feels like a stretch to me.
There must be photographic evidence of that, and I would love to see a picture of it.
Dr. Crusher. I'd never actually thought of that before, right enough, actually, that Dr. Crusher, I mean, that is a name and a half, isn't it? Dr. Crusher sounds like some guy that would have been in the territories in the 1960s, isn't it? Some guy with a big kind of white mask on or something. Dr. Crusher. Beautiful, beautiful. Well, that is it for Wrestling Daft. We just need to pick a listener of the week, Grado.
Listener of the week. I'm going to say, I don't know. Drink, who do you think?
Why don't we give it to Jamie, who said that John Cena... Well, here's a choice for you. I'm going to let you choose. Do we give it to Jamie, who says John Cena is an all-time great? Or do we give it to Graham, who says Jim Cornette slagging current wrestling is more entertaining?
Let's go with that. Let's go for Graham. Plus, that's also my shoot name. Unless people don't know that, that's my shoot name.
It's your shoot name. Right, okay, so we're going to give the belt to Graham for being a fan of Jim Cornette, which is something that really sticks in my throat. But
and sharing my shoot name.
That's it for Wrestling Daft. Please rate, review and subscribe on Apple or get us and wherever you get your podcasts. Mine for more content and for the video version of this show, get on board at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. And why not check out our merch at shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. Buy some merch, join the Patreon, give your money. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you on the next one.
So, of course, I'm getting tagged because the WWE Performance Center have released names of the 20 people who have just signed for their biggest ever intake. And there's a female who signed, and her name is Taylor Grado. Her name's Taylor Grado. And I saw this before I came
Grado
on.
Grado spelt how?
G-R-A-D-O. G-R-A-D-O. Aye.
What?
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that.
Taylor Grado.
Is that a real name?
I think that's her shoot name. Type in Taylor Grado into fucking Google.
Taylor Grado. That's what, like, if Taylor Swift married you, that's what her name would be. Taylor Grado.
There you go, mate. So should we talk about this next week, guys?
Taylor Grado? Taylor spelt how?
T-A-Y-L-O-R.
This is an incredible thing to happen at the end of an episode.
No, man, I should have brought it up, but Taylor Grado, WWE.
I mean, you've got to get signed now as a brother, right? As a long lost Scottish brother, it's going to happen.
Fuck knows, man. Apparently she's in Evolve and all that, carry on. So there you have it. You're Niso Kenner.
Wow. There we are. It's yourself, Grado. Well, maybe it's not yourself. Taylor's yourself now.
What are you looking at, John? What's the deal?
I've got to say something else. Breaking news, Mick Foley basically tweeted out, wishing the very best to my friend Paul White on his signing with... He meant to put AEW, but he's put He's put Andrew Ewing for Cowdenbeath, which is the SNP MP for Cowdenbeath.
What? Fuck off, man. Why is everything happening now?
Hold on, Brit. Let's see.
Why is this happening?
Tagged. He's tagged the SNP MP.
No, mate, this is brilliant.
It's signing with. That's amazing. Sad. Congratulations to my... Wishing the very best to my friend Paul White on his signing with Annabelle Ewing from Cowdenbeath.
No way, has it been deleted now?
That's so funny, because he also says, I'm guessing the big fella thought he'd done all there was today in WWE and that he still had some gas left in the tank.
Annabelle Ewing, why is it? They don't listen to this bit now. You know that?
And Mick then also said a follow-up saying, my apologies to Annabelle Ewing for Cowdenbeath for any unwanted attention from my last... That was my autocorrect.
Oh, what, man? That's hilarious.
There we go.
That's funny. Nice way in. Nice way in. Taylor Grado and a bit of Cowden B. Up the road, Grado. Up the road.
That's yourself. Charity, bye. Audio Frontier.